Sec 3503, Office of Legal Access Programs, Establishment of Office of Legal Access Programs, the Attorney General shall maintain, within the Executive Office for Immigration Review and Office of Legal Access Programs, to develop and administer a system of legal orientation programs to make immigration proceedings more efficient and cost-effective by educating aliens regarding administrative procedures and legal rights under United States immigration law and to establish other programs to assist in providing aliens access to legal information. Legal orientation programs. The legal orientation programs, one, shall provide programs to assist detained aliens in making informed and timely decisions regarding their removal and eligibility for relief from removal in order to increase efficiency and reduce costs in immigration proceedings and federal custody processes and to improve access to counsel and other legal services. Second, may provide services to detained aliens in immigration proceedings under sections 235, 238, 240, and 241A, 5 of the Immigration and Nationality Act 8 U.S.C. 1225, 1228, 1229A, and 1231A5, and to other aliens in immigration and asylum proceedings under sections 235, 238, and 240 of the Immigration and Nationality Act 8 U.S.C. 1225, 1228, and 1229A, and 3. Shall identify unaccompanied alien children, aliens with a serious mental disability, and other particularly vulnerable aliens for consideration by the Attorney General, pursuant to Section 292C of the Immigration and Nationality Act, as added by Section 3502C. C. Procedures. The Secretary, in consultation with the Attorney General, shall establish procedures that ensure that legal orientation programs are available for all detained aliens within 5 days of arrival into custody and to inform such aliens of the basic procedures of immigration hearings, their rights relating to those hearings under immigration laws, information that may deter such aliens from filing frivolous legal claims, and any other information deemed appropriate by the Attorney General, such as a contact list of potential legal resources and providers. T. Rule of construction. Nothing in this subsection shall be construed to create any substantive or procedural right or benefit that is legally enforceable by any party against the United States or its agencies or officers or any other person. E. Funding there shall be appropriated from the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Trust Fund established under Section 6A1, such sums as may be necessary to carry out this section. Sec 3504. Codifying Board of Immigration Appeals, a definition of board member. Section 101A8 U.S.C. 1101A is amended by adding at the end the following. 53. The term board member means an attorney whom the Attorney General appoints to serve on the Board of Immigration Appeals within the Executive Office of Immigration Review and is qualified to review decisions of immigration judges and other matters within the jurisdiction of the Board of Immigration Appeals. The Board of Immigration Appeals, Section 240A1, 8 U.S.C. 1229A1, is amended by adding at the end the following. The Board of Immigration Appeals and its board members shall review decisions of immigration judges under this section. See Appeals, Section 240B4, 8 U.S.C. 1229A4, as amended by Section 3502B, is further amended. 1. In subparagraph B, by striking and inserting a semicolon. 2. In subparagraph C, by striking the period and inserting and 3. By inserting after subparagraph C, the following. T. The alien or the Department of Homeland Security may appeal the immigration judge's decision to 3-judge panel of the Board of Immigration Appeals. T. Decision and burden of proof. Section 240C1A, 8 U.S.C. 1229A C1A is amended to read as follows. A. In general, at the conclusion of the proceeding, the immigration judge shall decide whether an alien is removable from the United States. The determination of the immigration judge shall be based only on the evidence produced at the hearing. On appeal, the Board of Immigration Appeals shall issue a written opinion. The opinion shall address all dispositive arguments raised by the parties. The panel may incorporate by reference the opinion of the immigration judge whose decision is being reviewed, provided that the panel also addresses any arguments made by the non-prevailing party regarding purported errors of law, fact, or discretion. Sec 3505, improved training for immigration judges and board members. In general, Section 248 U.S.C. 12298 is amended by adding at the end the following. F. Improved training. 1. Improved training for immigration judges and board members. A. In general, in consultation with the Attorney General and the Director of the Federal Judicial Center, the Director of the Executive Office for Immigration Review shall review and modify as appropriate training programs for immigration judges and board members. B. Elements of review. Each such review shall study. A. Expansion of the training program for new immigration judges and board members. A. Continuing education regarding current developments in the field of immigration law. And II. Methods to ensure that immigration judges are trained on properly crafting and dictating decisions. 2. Improve training and guidance for staff. The Director of the Executive Office for Immigration Review shall A. Modify guidance and training regarding screening standards and standards of review. And B. Ensure that board members provide staff attorneys with appropriate guidance in drafting decisions in individual cases consistent with the policies and directives of the Director of the Executive Office for Immigration Review and the Chairman of the Board of Immigration Appeals. B. Funding there shall be appropriated from the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Trust Fund, established under Section 6A1, such sums as may be necessary to carry out this section and amendment made by this section. Sec 3506, improved resources and technology for immigration courts and Board of Immigration Appeals, improved on-bench reference materials and decision templates. The Director of the Executive Office for Immigration Review shall ensure that immigration judges are provided with updated reference materials and standard decision templates that conform to the law of the circuits in which they sit. The Practice Manual. The Director of the Executive Office for Immigration Review shall produce a practice manual describing best practices for immigration courts and shall make such manual available electronically to counsel and litigants who appear before the immigration courts. See Recording System and Other Technologies. 1. Plan required. The Director of the Executive Office for Immigration Review shall provide the Attorney General with a plan and a schedule to replace the immigration courts tape recording system with a digital recording system that is compatible with the information management systems of the Executive Office for Immigration Review. 2. Audio recording system consistent with the plan described in paragraph 1. The director shall file a digital audio recording system not later than 1 year after the enactment of this act and shall begin nationwide implementation of that system as soon as practicable. T. Improved transcription services not later than 1 year after the enactment of this act. The Director of the Executive Office for Immigration Review shall report to the Attorney General on the current transcription services utilized by the office and recommend improvements to this system regarding quality and timeliness of transcription. E. Improved interpreter selection not later than 1 year after the enactment of this act. The Director of the Executive Office for Immigration Review shall report to the Attorney General on the current interpreter selection process utilized by the office and recommend improvements to this process regarding screening, hiring, certification, and evaluation of staff and contract interpreters. F. Funding there shall be appropriated from the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Trust Fund established under Section 6A1, such sums as may be necessary to carry out this section. Sec 3507. Transfer of responsibility for trafficking protections. A transfer of responsibility. 1. In general, all unexpended balances appropriated or otherwise available to the Department of Health and Human Services and its Office of Refugee Resettlement in connection with the functions provided for in paragraphs 5 and 6 of Section 235C of the William Wilberforce Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act of 2008 8 U.S.C. 1232C shall, subject to Section 202 of the Budget and Accounting Procedures Act of 1950, be transferred to the Department of Justice. Funds transferred pursuant to this paragraph shall remain available until expended and shall be used only for the purposes for which the funds were originally authorized and appropriated. 2. Contract authority. The Attorney General may award grants to and enter into contracts to carry out the functions set forth in paragraphs 5 and 6 of Section 235C of the William Wilberforce Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act of 2008. B. Conforming Amendments. Section 235C of the William Wilberforce Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act of 2008 8 U.S.C. 1232C is amended. 1. In paragraph 5, by striking Secretary of Health and Human Services each place it appears and inserting Attorney General. And B. By striking the last sentence. And 2. In paragraph 6, by striking Secretary of Health and Human Services each place it appears and inserting Attorney General. B. In subparagraphs B, D, and F, by striking Secretary each place it appears and inserting Attorney General. And C. In subparagraph F, by striking at Human Services. Subtitle F. Prevention of Trafficking in Persons and Abuses Involving Workers Recruited Abroad. Sec 3601. Definitions. In general, except as otherwise provided by this subtitle, the terms used in this subtitle shall have the same meanings respectively as are given those terms in Section 3 of the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938 29 U.S.C. 203. The other definitions. 1. Foreign labor contractor. The term foreign labor contractor means any person who performs foreign labor contracting activity, including any person who performs foreign labor contracting activity wholly outside of the United States, except that the term does not include any entity of the United States government. 2. Foreign labor contracting activity. The term foreign labor contracting activity means recruiting, soliciting, or related activities with respect to an individual who resides outside of the United States in furtherance of employment in the United States, including when such activity occurs wholly outside of the United States. 3. Person. The term person means any natural person or any corporation, company, firm, partnership, joint stock company, or association or other organization or entity whether organized under law or not, including municipal corporations. 4. Worker. The term worker means an individual who is the subject of foreign labor contracting activity and does not include an exchange visitor as defined in Section 62.2 of Title 22, Code of Federal Regulations, or any similar successor regulation. Sec 3602. Disclosure. The requirement for disclosure. Any person who engages in foreign labor contracting activity shall ascertain and disclose in writing in English and in the primary language of the worker at the time of the WORKERS recruitment the following information. 1. The identity and address of the employer and the identity and address of the person conducting the recruiting on behalf of the employer, including any subcontractor or agent involved in such recruiting. 2. All assurances and terms and conditions of employment from the prospective employer for whom the worker is being recruited, including the work hours, level of compensation to be paid, the place and period of employment, a description of the type and nature of employment activities, any withholdings or deductions from compensation, and any penalties for terminating employment. 3. A signed copy of the work contract between the worker and the employer. 4. The type of visa under which the foreign worker is to be employed, the length of time for which the visa will be valid, the terms and conditions under which the visa may be renewed, and a clear statement of any expenses associated with securing or renewing the visa. 5. An itemized list of any costs or expenses to be charged to the worker and any deductions to be taken from wages, including any costs for housing or accommodation, transportation to and from the worksite, meals, health insurance, workers' compensation, costs of benefits, provided medical examinations, healthcare tools, or safety equipment costs. 6. The existence of any labor organizing effort, strike, lockout, or other labor dispute at the place of employment. 7. Whether and the extent to which workers will be compensated through workers' compensation, private insurance, or otherwise for injuries or death, including work-related injuries and death during the period of employment, and if so, the name of the state workers' compensation insurance carrier, or the name of the policyholder of the private insurance, the name and the telephone number of each person who must be notified of an injury or death, and the time period within which such notice must be given. 8. A statement in the form specified by the secretary, stating that no foreign labor contractor, agent, or employee of the foreign labor contractor may lawfully assess any fee including visa fees, processing fees, transportation fees, legal expenses, placement fees, and other costs to worker for any foreign labor contracting activity, and a. The employer may bear such costs or fees for the foreign labor contractor, but that these fees cannot be passed along to the worker. B. Explaining that no additional significant requirements or changes may be made to the original contract signed by the worker without at least 24 hours to consider such changes and the specific consent of the worker obtained voluntarily and without threat of penalty, and a. Any significant changes made to the original contract that do not comply with clause I shall be a violation of this subtitle and be subject to the provisions of Section 3610 of this Act, and c. Describing the protections afforded the worker by this section and by Section 202 of the William Wilberforce Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act of 2008 U.S.C. 1375b and any applicable visa program, including relevant information about the procedure for filing a complaint provided for in Section 3610, and a. The telephone number for the National Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline number, then any education or training to be provided or required, including the nature, timing, and cost of such training. B. The person who will pay such costs. C. Whether the training is a condition of employment, continued employment, or future employment. And D. Whether the worker will be paid or remunerated during the training period, including the rate of pay. B. Relationship to labor and employment laws. Nothing in the disclosure required by subsection A shall constitute a legal conclusion as to the WORKERS status or rights under the labor and employment laws. C. Prohibition on false and misleading information. No foreign labor contractor or employer who engages in any foreign labor contracting activity shall knowingly provide materially false or misleading information to any worker concerning any matter required to be disclosed under subsection A. The disclosure required by this section is a document concerning the proper administration of a matter within the jurisdiction of a department or agency of the United States for the purposes of Section 1519 of Title 18, United States Code, Sec. 3603, Prohibition on Discrimination. In general, it shall be unlawful for an employer or a foreign labor contractor to fail or refuse to hire, discharge, intimidate, threaten, restrain, coerce, or blacklist any individual or otherwise discriminate against an individual with respect to compensation, terms, conditions, or privileges of employment because of such individual's race, color, creed, sex, national origin, religion, age, or disability. B. Determinations of discrimination for the purposes of determining the existence of unlawful discrimination under subsection A. 1. In the case of a claim of discrimination based on race, color, creed, sex, national origin, or religion, the same legal standards shall apply as are applicable under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, 42 U.S.C. 2000e, et sec. 2. In the case of a claim of discrimination based on unlawful discrimination based on age, the same legal standards shall apply as are applicable under the Age Discrimination in Employment Act of 1967, 29 U.S.C. 621, et sec. And 3. In the case of a claim of discrimination based on disability, the same legal standards shall apply as are applicable under Title I of the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, 42 U.S.C. 12111, et sec. Sec. 3604. Recruitment fees. No employer, foreign labor contractor, or agent or employee of the foreign labor contractor shall assess any fee including visa fees, processing fees, transportation fees, legal expenses, placement fees, and other costs to work or for any foreign labor contracting activity. Section 3605. Registration. A requirement to register. 1. In general subject to paragraph 2, prior to engaging in any foreign labor contracting activity, any person who is a foreign labor contractor or who for any money or other valuable consideration, paid or promised to be paid, performs a foreign labor contracting activity on behalf of a foreign labor contractor shall obtain a certificate of registration from the Secretary of Labor pursuant to regulations promulgated by the Secretary under subsection C. 2. Exception for certain employers, an employer or employee of an employer who engages in foreign labor contracting activity solely to find employees for the employer's own use and without the participation of any other foreign labor contractor shall not be required to register under this section. B. Notification. 1. Annual employer notification. Each employer shall notify the secretary not less frequently than once every year of the identity of any foreign labor contractor involved in any foreign labor contracting activity for or on behalf of the employer, including at a minimum the name and address of the foreign labor contractor, a description of the services for which the foreign labor contractor is being used, whether the foreign labor contractor is to receive any economic compensation for the services, and if so, the identity of the person or entity who is paying for the services. 2. Annual foreign labor contractor notification. Each foreign labor contractor shall notify the secretary not less frequently than once every year of the identity of any subcontractee, agent, or foreign labor contractor employee involved in any foreign labor contracting activity for or on behalf of the foreign labor contractor. 3. Non-compliance notification. An employer shall notify the secretary of the identity of a foreign labor contractor whose activities do not comply with this subtitle. 4. Agreement not later than 7 days after receiving a request from the secretary. An employer shall provide the secretary with the identity of any foreign labor contractor with which the employer has a contract or other agreement. C. Regulations not later than 180 days after the date of the enactment of this act. The secretary shall promulgate regulations to establish an efficient electronic process for the timely investigation and approval of an application for a certificate of registration of foreign labor contractors, including 1. A declaration, subscribed and sworn to by the applicant, stating the applicant's permanent place of residence, the foreign labor contracting activities for which the certificate is requested, and such other relevant information as the secretary may require. 2. A set of fingerprints of the applicant. 3. An expeditious means to pay registrations and renew certificates. 4. Providing for the consent of any foreign labor recruiter to the designation by a part of the secretary as an agent available to accept service of summons in any action against the applicant if the applicant has left the jurisdiction in which the action is commenced, otherwise has become unavailable to accept service, or is subject to personal jurisdiction in no state. 5. Providing for the consent of any foreign labor recruiter to jurisdiction in the department or any federal or state court in the United States for any action brought by any aggrieved individual or worker. 6. Providing for cooperation in any investigation by the secretary or other appropriate authorities. 7. Providing for consent to the forfeiture of the bond for failure to cooperate with these provisions. 8. Providing for consent to be liable for violations of this subtitle by any agent or subcontractees of any level in relation to the foreign labor contracting activity of the agent or subcontractee to the same extent as if the foreign labor contractor had committed the violation. And 9. Providing for consultation with other appropriate federal agencies to determine whether any reason exists to deny registration to foreign labor contractor. T. Term of registration unless suspended or revoked. A certificate under this section shall be valid for 2 years. The application fee. 1. Requirement for fee. In addition to any other fees authorized by law, the secretary shall impose a fee to be deposited in the general fund of the treasury on a foreign labor contractor that submits an application for a certificate of registration under this section. 2. Amount of fee. The amount of the fee required by paragraph 1 shall be set at a level that the secretary determines sufficient to cover the full costs of carrying out foreign labor contract registration activities under this subtitle, including worker education and any additional costs associated with administration of the fees collected. F. Refusal to issue. Revocation. In accordance with regulations promulgated by the secretary shall refuse to issue or renew, or shall revoke and debar from eligibility to obtain a certificate of registration for a period of not greater than 5 years after notice and an opportunity for a hearing. A certificate of registration under this section if 1. The applicant for or holder of the certification has knowingly made a material misrepresentation in the application for such certificate. 2. The applicant for or holder of the certification is not the real party in interest in the application or certificate of registration, and the real party in interest is a person who has been refused issuance or renewal of a certificate. B. Has had a certificate revoked. R. C. Does not qualify for a certificate under this section. 3. The applicant for or holder of the certification has been convicted within the preceding 5 years of any felony under state or federal law or crime involving robbery, robbery, extortion, embezzlement, grand larceny, burglary, arson, violation of narcotics laws, murder, rape, assault with intent to kill, assault which inflicts grievous bodily injury, prostitution, peonage, or smuggling or harboring individuals who have entered the United States illegally, or any crime relating to gambling or to the sale, distribution or possession of alcoholic beverages in connection with or incident to any labor contracting activities, or 4. The applicant for or holder of the certification has materially failed to comply with this section. G. Pre-registration of violators. The secretary shall establish a procedure by which a foreign labor contractor that has had its registration revoked under subsection F may seek to re-register under this subsection by demonstrating to the SECRETARY's satisfaction that the foreign labor contractor has not violated this subtitle in the previous 5 years and that the foreign labor contractor has taken sufficient steps to prevent future violations of this subtitle.